Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Talk Spicy. I'm Coach Gene Clemens. Thank you for joining me wherever you are joining me. Rate the show, comment, agree, disagree, but whatever you do, keep it spicy. Five-star ratings are appreciated. If you're joining me on the YouTube channel, make sure you like, make sure you subscribe. We have officially entered hoodie season, ladies and gentlemen. We got the first, like, really cool temperatures of the season, of the year, here in Savannah. I was excited, opened up my window, let the cool air come in. I was really excited for my air conditioner. I was really excited for my heating, my electric bill that has been astronomical over the last few months, which is crazy because I don't even like keep my, I don't keep my house super cold until it gets cold. And then my house tends to be cold because I don't turn the heat on. One thing I know about hoodie season, though, is that, like, and the reason I call it hoodie season is simple because it gives you the ability to wear a hoodie, like, all the time. Like, and not look crazy. Like, a lot of our students in schools, they wear hoodies like year round and they look crazy to me, like legit crazy. It's 95 degrees outside. These jits be having hoodies on. And I'm like, yo, what are you doing? Like, it's 107 degrees outside. You got a hoodie on and we'll like look you dead in the face like nothing's wrong. And I'm like, yeah, no, you got a hoodie on. It's 97 degrees. I've got on a breathable polo and I'm about to die. And they be dying. They be funky under there. You know they do. Like, just be sweating up a storm. I'm like, I hope that little whatever you wearing, your Old Spice, your degree, I hope it's working overtime right now because you're going to need it. You know what else needs to work overtime? Giants fans. And this is my, I thought about doing this last week, and I just felt like after looking at the comments, after seeing everything, after another game versus a good team, you know, after another game versus a really good team that they didn't get it done, I felt the need to say something because it warrants it. There's been a lot of disrespect thrown towards the offensive line. And they deserve some of it, right? They deserve some of it. There's been a lot of BS thrown at the coaching staff, at the front office. Now they want to start blaming the front office for failures to do certain things. Oh, well, we failed to put an offensive line around Daniel Jones that would make him successful. I think it's always interesting, like Giants fans as a whole, not individually, because I know he receives criticism individually from individuals, but as a whole, they all make nothing but excuses for Daniel Jones and his play. Meanwhile, they don't give any of that same recognition, that same attitude, that same energy to anyone else on the team. Like, Saquon Barkley runs behind that offensive line that you think can't pass protect. He runs behind the same offensive line. But when he gets hurt or he's banged up, nobody goes, man, y'all are doing nothing to protect your really talented running back. You're not putting guys in place to be able to take advantage of the talents of your really talented running back. Nope, you just go, oh, he's injury prone. You just go, oh, he's injury prone. Like, forget about the fact that ain't nobody blocking in front of him. It's just all his fault, right? And so, like, that's what ends up happening. That's what ends up happening in the world that we live in, we end up in situations where we blame a certain entity, but we only blame them in conjunction to this. So I like to remind Giants fans of something. When Evan Neal went at your throats, when Evan Neal was talking wild, when Evan Neal was essentially defending himself, he was doing that from a place of hurt, right? He was doing it from a place of hurt. He's heard people say things like, oh, he is fat. We've had people superimpose his head on fast food workers' bodies. By the way, this was before the comments. We've had people talk about he was a bust, talk about he was the worst mistake that the regime has made. They talked about how he can't, like, he's not good. He's not working hard. He's not focused in. Like, all of the things that you would say, right? And meanwhile, not recognizing any of the things that have led to his struggles. Yo, he is not a natural tackle. He is a guy who was raw at the position. He was a guy who was going to need time at the position. There's still a chance that that's not the best position for him. But no grace for him. Daniel Jones has been here 5 years. Still the same Daniel Jones to me. Right? The moment that things aren't right, he doesn't know how to process, how to troubleshoot, how to turn nothing into something. That's always been the case with him. It's always just run and run recklessly until you get hurt. That's been him. Right? But everybody's willing to give him the pass. Oh, he's had this. He's had that. He hasn't. He doesn't. He wasn't allowed to. He didn't get. Oh, this was his coach. Oh, that was his coach. Oh, this was the offensive line. Oh, those were his receivers. Every excuse in the book. But you're not willing to give a second-year offensive lineman who has to deal with the likes of Dallas's pass rush, San Francisco's pass rush, Washington's pass rush. You're not willing to give him grace. You've given grace everywhere else that you can possibly give grace when it comes to Daniel Jones. But Saquon Barkley doesn't deserve anything. You give Daniel Jones all the credit for his season last year, which was a mediocre season. And meanwhile, you talk like Saquon Barkley's not that important. Yet, since Saquon Barkley's been out, right? Let's get back to the offensive line. Giants fans, you do know that this is not the offensive line that your team, your organization put together. This is not what they wanted their offensive line to look like when they started the season. In fact, you could argue that if their offensive line, the one that they actually want out there, ever actually has a chance to play together, because they've had injury after injury after injury, this offensive line won't be bad. And when that happens, you're going to give credit to who? When that happens, you're going to say what? Because when Thomas comes back, that gives them the flexibility to then move Ezeudu to left guard, which is where he should be anyway. Now you have two big, athletic, physical specimens at your left tackle and left guard. You have Ezeudu, who's now protected from the speed rush, which is where he struggled at, because now Thomas is out there. You get your center back, who's hurt. And now you don't have the left guard, who should be the backup left guard, having to come in and play center, right? Your right guard is McKeithen. when healthy, he's proven to be like a good option. Not a great option, but a good option. And then you have Neal. You have one of the biggest, one of the nastiest offensive lines in football. Now you know what you do? Stop trying to be all fancy and 8 billion different shifts and motions and then throw a 2-yard like flat route to a guy who's going to get tackled because nobody fell for all that stuff. Now you do what Philly does. You do what, to a certain extent, what Tennessee and what Atlanta does. You lean into your run game when you get back a healthy Saquon Barkley, because there is a difference between this team when Barkley's back there and when Barkley's not, even without offensive linemen. That offensive line that you saw out there in the game on Sunday, that is nowhere near the offensive line that the front office wanted to put in place. And I'm not here to normally defend Giants front office, but you fans are acting ridiculous. You're acting as if you have not suffered. You have not suffered a bunch of injuries to one unit. You act like this is the first time. Oh, so you expect that the front office should be able to put not only good starters in place, you want them to be able to put good backups in place as well. You want them to be able to not only put good starters in place, but you want them to be able to put starting level backups in place while also paying your quarterback $40 million a year. Like, tell me how you want them to get that done. Hey, newsflash, Giants fans. If any team in the NFL suffers 3 losses on the offensive line, they're not going to be good. Most, if they suffer 1 loss, will not be good. Baltimore is the closest example of a team getting it done with multiple O-line injuries, but they have Lamar Jackson. And they have warts. Like, they just lost a game they weren't supposed to lose. Yes, there were drop passes. Yes, there were turnovers. But why? Because the protection just isn't as good. So there's not as many shots. The running game isn't as good because those offensive linemen are out. They just have a way better quarterback. Lamar Jackson's just way better. I remember when y'all tried to get that narrative off that Daniel Jones was as good as Lamar Jackson, but he's not. He's nowhere near as good. Nowhere near. And so what you Giants fans have to do is to understand that when you are constantly beating down your players, at some point, your players are going to strike back. And that's what Evan Neal did after 2 years of nothing but disrespect, a year and some change of y'all acting like he is super horrible, after you only notice the things that he does wrong and you never notice the things that he does right, he lashed out. He said stuff. Hurt people. So he was trying to say hurtful things. Right? He tried to do that. And you know what y'all did immediately? You all acted like victims. You were out there acting as if he somehow was the bully and you were the victim. Meanwhile, you were the ones doing the bullying. You can't be the bully then when the person you're bullying punches you in the face, go, oh my God, he punched me in the face. How does that work? You sounded like a bunch of Karens out there. You were hella aggressive, hella on him, and then all of a sudden, he lashed out and called y'all some fast food workers. And all of a sudden, oh, I can't believe he disrespected the fast food working industry like that. You know, those are the people that pay his salary. We deserve better than this. What? The audacity to sit there and act like you don't know why this man lashed out, as if he was just, the money does not give you the right to talk disparagingly about someone. If you just want to say he's not good, cool, say he's not good. But the links that y'all go to, the type of stuff that y'all say, the memes that y'all put together, all of those things, they don't help. All of the negativity that you put together, it does not help. It only hurts. And because it does not help, because it only hurts, I don't understand why you do it. It makes no sense to me why you do it. Who's benefiting from it? Do you feel better because you're disrespecting this guy? Do you feel better when you just take a crap all over the entire offensive line? You think that Ben Bredesen wants to be playing left guard 1 minute, then center the next minute? You think that Jeremy Azudu, who thought he was supposed to be a guard, wanted to all of a sudden now be thrust into left tackle duty, backing up an all-pro, replacing an all-pro, having to be responsible for the blind side of Daniel Jones? No. You think that coach wanted to put those people in that place? No. They have no other choice because this is how the NFL works. You do realize they only dress like 7 or 8 offensive linemen at most. Why do you think you see in blowouts, you see the offensive line still out there? Why do you think in blowouts, you still see the offensive line hanging out, playing? Because there's just not many of them dressed for the game. You can't afford to. You've got so many other positions that you have to have multiples of in order to function, that you can't afford to dress out 10 offensive linemen. And if you did dress out 10 offensive linemen, 3 of them are not going to be worth starting. The other 2, the 2 backups, might be good enough to be spot starters, but you can't afford to pay 10 starting level offensive linemen. Nobody can. Everybody's dealt with this. Patrick Mahomes dragged a bad offensive line to the Super Bowl. They got another injury. I mean, they got 2 more injuries, and then it was untenable. They couldn't, because they were going up against one of the best defenses. Joe Burrow dragged a bad offensive line to the Super Bowl. They got there. Guess what happened? They got beat. Why? Because the offensive line wasn't good enough. There's only so much you can do, but you can do it. And it doesn't happen by just sitting there repeatedly taking shots at the offensive line over and over and over and over again. That is not how you help build a culture that makes people want to be a part of it. You guys were, man, the way y'all treated Steve Slayton. Oh, excuse me, not Steve Slayton, Darius Slayton. Last year, preseason, before he had his reemergence, the way y'all talked about him, I'm surprised he was able to turn it around. You had other guys who were not able to turn it around. Evan Neal, the way you talked about him, like he was trash. 2 years in Jacksonville. He's been good both years. Guess what? When he was healthy, he was good. You think people in Jacksonville are talking about a drop? No. They're talking about the positives. They don't just harp on the negatives. Maybe it's a New York thing, right? Maybe that's just what New Yorkers do. But I've never understood it. I've never understood it. Oh, you got to be different to live here or to work here, to be in the New York market, it's harder. Why should it be harder? I've talked to the media. I've talked to New York media. New York media is not more savvy. They're not smarter. They're not asking harder questions. There's nothing different about what New York media does than any other media I've ever seen. I'm sorry to break the news to you. They're not better at the job. They're not more like demonstrative at the job. They ask the same boring, like, don't really give you any insight into the person questions that every other media member around the country asks. And then when people like me or guys that I know who ask real legitimate questions come along, they use all that information to write their stories off of. I've seen it happen in the New York market for the Giants. So acting as if you're victims when someone lashes out when you've had nothing good to say about them at all, what do you expect to happen? At some point, somebody who is built to fight will just start fighting. That's what happens. And that's what happened with Neil. And that's what happens all around the league. When you see players blow up, when you see players like getting their feelings, when you see coaches go off on media, or that is them saying, I am fed up. Yeah, I saw all the things. I read all the memes. I saw all the clips. I looked at all the videos. I read all the think pieces. I'm tired of it. That's them being fed up. And once they dump it all out, they can go back to taking your stuff again. But a little pow pow every once in a while never hurt anybody, right? A little, hey, I'm human. So when you say something hurtful, I can say something hurtful back that never hurt anyone. That's what we have to understand about this world. Maybe a little bit more kindness. Maybe a little bit more understanding. I saw people blame Evan Neal for letting a guy come outside of him on a pass rush when it was clear he was supposed to be looking inside. Now, whether or not he was supposed to look inside, then turn back out, I don't know. I don't know the scheme. But the scheme seems mighty fishy when you've got a guy coming, rushing the C gap outside of him and rushing the B gap inside of him, and you've got his right guard sliding to the left side. What is he supposed to do? Let the guy shooting the B gap with the straight line at the quarterback go, or let the guy outside with a straight line at the quarterback go? Seems like six in one hand, half dozen in the other. But he gets blamed. Oh, did he not even see this guy? Yes, he saw him. But if he goes there, the other guy comes free. That's a scheme issue. Blame your coach. It doesn't always have to be on Neil. It doesn't always have to be just one person's fault. It can be everybody's fault. They could all have some type of culpability. What if Daniel Jones was out there setting the protection and he set the protection wrong? What if the mic he identified was the wrong mic? We can have a little bit more understanding, a little bit more love, a little bit more patience for teams that we claim to care about. People talking about, I'm already checked out on this year. You're checked out? After five games of a 17-game season, the Giants started off the season last year, I believe, 7-1, 8-1. They only won 9 games, which means it was a whole lot of losing. 9 or 10 games, I don't remember exactly. But that means that there was a whole lot of losing on the back end. But because you won on the front end, that kept you engaged for the rest of the season? That just sounds very fair weather to me. That sounds very bandwagonish to me. And I thought you guys were like diehards. That's why I love about the New York fan base. You guys are supposed to be like Die Hard. Y'all seem very die easy right now. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Talk Spicy. I'm Coach Gene Clemens. Do this thing a few times a week. Rate the show, comment, agree, disagree. But whatever you do, keep it spicy. 5-star ratings are appreciated. And if you're joining me on the YouTube channel, make sure you like, make sure you subscribe. We're getting close to 6,000. You know how I go. Till next time. Peace.